A white man? No!
And we're back with another Criminal Minds recap, right on into season six here.
Yes.
They've got a lot going on. It's an emotionally wrought episode, for sure.
Yeah. They sure do make it seem that way.
they sure do play the sort of music over top of the action that's supposed to make you feel feelings.
I have thoughts about the music.
We are discussing JJ, which originally aired September 29th, 2010.
Yes. All right. So this one starts with Rossi and Morgan. They're watching a news report about a missing woman. The news report says that they have suspects in custody, but nobody can be charged because they don't have a body. Morgan asks if they are still in Hotch's office, and Rossi says yes, and that it can't be good. So it's all like, you know, very cryptic.
Yeah.
And at first I thought it was going to be one of those episodes where they're like 3 days early, but it is not. We see Morgan walks out into like the like bullpen area, and Garcia and Reed and Prentice are all just sitting there staring at Hotch's window.
And Garcia has quite the outfit on in this episode. It is a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, they're watching the window where Hotch, JJ, and Strauss are meeting in Hotch's office.
But you can't really see them because the blinds are like closed.
And they like make a comment about like, oh, they never shut the blinds. You're like, oh, no. Reed takes just like a full handful of Tums. And Prentice chides him about eating dairy again, and he says, I can't help it. I love it. And I was like, same, Reed.
Story of my life. He's got different hair again, too.
Yeah, it's like better styled.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody helped him out for sure.
Yeah. Prentice says that she doesn't think it's about the current case, and they all just sit around like speculating wildly because nobody knows what they're talking about. But we really don't have to wait that long to find out because it cuts right over to Hotch's office.
Sure does.
Strauss is giving JJ a hard time for not wanting to take a new position that she's apparently been offered twice and turned down.
Yeah.
Hotch defends her for not, because she's like, how could you not tell your boss about this transfer you were offered? And she's like, because I don't want the job and I'm not taking it. And Hotch is like, why would she tell me about the job?
Yeah. And Strauss is so condescending, like, yeah, I know this job requires sacrifices and you'd be able to spend so much more time with Henry. And you can see JJ get pissed, and I would be pissed too. Like, don't talk to me about how much time I spend with my kid. That's none of your business.
But like, it's hard though, because it's also like, she's like saying it's like a much better job too, like a much more prestigious position.
Yeah.
And you have to wonder how much of it too is like Strauss as an older woman who probably had to claw her way to her position through all of the incompetent men who would have been
seeing her pass up an opportunity.
Yeah, like seeing her pass up an opportunity.
That's so
probably
you, like, being devil's advocate about Strauss again. But like, she's not as bad as she seems. She wants
at
her
first,
to take advantage.
When she was like talking, and then she made the comment about you'd be able to spend more time with your son. I was like, all right, shut up.
Yeah, how dare you.
Like, don't judge her mothering. It's like, as far as I know, like, Will is like a stay-at-home parent at this point, basically, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, are you telling Hotch he should stay home with his kid more? Because his kid doesn't have another parent.
Right.
And we haven't heard Jack mentioned in ages.
Well, she did offer for Hotch to retire, and he said no.
Yeah.
So.
She was like, this one's a lost cause.
Yeah.
But yeah, Hotch says that Strauss can't make her go if she doesn't want to. And Strauss is like, sure. I'm like, yes, she can.
Yeah, in a way that very much makes it seem like she can.
But then as soon as she leaves, Hotch is like, JJ, seriously, you should take this job. It's a better job. She's like, I can't. We're a family. And
which,
like,
is so dumb.
It's so
listen,
dumb.
Listen, anywhere you work, if they start referring to you as a family, run for your life. It's a toxic work environment.
Call your dad. You're in a cult.
Yes, exactly.
So the team is off to Maryland, somewhere outside of Baltimore or something? Yeah. Around Baltimore? I was unclear on where they actually were because I don't think there was a little thing on the corner of the screen that told you what city it was.
No, but it's an island, right? There's somewhere, or an inlet.
Inlet. Something on an inlet because they keep talking about it.
Yeah.
I didn't look at the map because I didn't care that much.
No. Atlantic Beach.
Oh, okay.
Atlantic Beach, yeah.
Yeah, so they're off. Locals have a potential pair of suspects, but they can't get them to turn on each other at all. They're like, well, it's going to be a short plane ride. Like, how is it not faster to take a train?
Right.
It has to be faster.
All the time to wait, like, on the runway and everything. Well, so, and it's a super tight timeline because they've already had them in custody for, like, 65 hours or something. And they're calling them in now that it's like the last 12 hours before they have to release them, which seems like you've waited too long for help.
Yeah.
Right? You should have called someone in.
Yeah. I forgot.
A while ago.
Because they kept like talking about the timeline and I forgot about this part of the conversation. And it was like, how many hours? Like, you don't even know if this girl's alive or not. She could have been dead. And then I remembered like three quarters of the way through the episode why they were so stuck on the timeline. I'm like, oh, right, because you can't charge them with anything. You're just holding them.
Yeah, they're just holding them for no questioning. Reason. Yeah. So, yeah. And this is one that I was like, when it started, I was like, I don't remember anything but the JJ part of it. And as soon as they got to Maryland, I was like, I remember this case.
Yes. But, JJ reassures Garcia that everything's fine with Strauss and not to worry about it because JJ is like, or Garcia's very worried about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So we get our first quote, Jean Racine, don't remember how to pronounce it. A tragedy need not have blood and death. It's enough that it all be filled with the majestic sadness that is the pleasure of tragedy.
What a mouthful.
Yes. On the plane, JJ seems a bit stressed out. Reed asks her if he's, like, she's in, like, the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. And she, like, wipes away a tear in the mirror and stuff.
Single tear.
Mm-hmm.
Splashes some cold water on her face.
But only the bottom half of her face, so she doesn't really mess up her eye makeup.
Yeah. Reed asks if she's okay, like, knocks on the door, and she's like, yeah, I'm fine. He's like, good, I feel sick. throws her out. Which is weird, like.
Well, I was assuming it was all the Tums and the cheese and everything is why he was feeling.
Yeah, but like then it just like they never come back to Reed being sick.
No.
On anything. Like it's so weird. Like was Matthew Gray Kubler just really not feeling well that day? And they're like, no, we have to shoot this. JJ tells everybody about the job offer with the Pentagon and that Strauss really wants her to take the job. And everyone's like, I don't know. Strauss is shady. And you're like, just a bureaucrat.
Yeah.
Doing your job. They're all
shady. This is how they are about bureaucrats, though. We see it time and again.
Yeah.
It never changes as the series goes on.
Yeah. Like, they're not also.
Right.
A bunch of bureaucrats. So the missing girl, whose name is Kate Joyce, was last seen leaving a bar with the two men that they have in custody, both of whom said that they slept with her, but that it was consensual.
They mentioned that she's 19. Does she look 19 in that picture to you?
No, she looks like she's 32.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I was like, no, this is not a teenager.
Yeah. So Kate's parents won't leave the police station.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a lot of them, but it's okay because Kate's dad is Billy from Ally McBeal.
Yes, it's Gil Bellows. He was the dreamboat of Ally McBeal. I was looking at him in this episode thinking, he was the dreamboat of Ally McBeal.
I was like, wait, he's from Ally McBeal. I remember him being better looking.
Yeah.
That was totally one of those shows that I watched when I was like in like late high school, college.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is what adulthood will be like.
Yes, exactly. When I'm grown up, I'm going to live a life just like Ally McBeal.
Yeah.
With a Billy.
Yeah.
Except, yeah, he's a hot mess in that show and he's a hot mess in this show.
He sure is. Kate's mom says that Kate was almost named Jennifer and that she also would have been JJ when she meets JJ.
Uncomfortable.
It's like, oh, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Kate's dad refuses to go to the hotel at all. Like JJ's like, why don't we go? You can rest. We'll be in constant contact with my team. And he's like, not while those boys are here.
I don't blame him for that. Yeah.
The local detective tells them that the one suspect, Sid, is a handful, but his lifelong best friend, Jimmy, is dumber than a box of rocks, and that neither man has flipped on the other or changed his story at all.
Mm-hmm.
So Prentice goes in and offers Sid, who is the kid from Twilight.
I didn't realize that until I looked him up because I haven't.
I had to look him up because I was like, I remember him vaguely being in something, but not important enough to be anyone.
Like 80s movie teen villain written all over him.
Yeah.
Looks
like
else.
His name would have been Chad if he was in a Brat Pack movie. Uh-huh.
Yep.
We're in the polo with the flip collar. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He seems very chill for someone who's being held and accused of murdering a woman.
Yeah. He's not worried at all.
No.
Just wants some Arby's.
Yeah. Rossi and Reed discuss why Kate, who seems like a very sweet girl, would have left with Sid and Jimmy, who seem like they suck. Yeah. Reed suggests that maybe she knew them because she seems too cautious to have gone off with strangers. And JJ and Kate's mom go through an album of pictures of Kate, who we learn was a very accomplished competitive swimmer, mm-hmm. as was her younger brother, Drew, who died of leukemia a few years ago. So yeah, it's like, oh, no.
These poor parents, they've already lost so much.
And that's like the point where you're like, well, they don't have a body. And these people have already had this horrible trauma, so they've got to find her.
We've got to find her alive somewhere, yeah.
You have to find her alive. Mm-hmm. And then Kate's parents get in a big fight about whether or not they even should have let her come on the trip. And the dad was like, you know, well, like, how could you let her go? And she's like, she's 19. She can do whatever she wants.
Yeah. He's like, it was a mistake. She's like, don't you think I know it was a mistake? Yeah. Like, oh, these people.
Yeah.
You feel so bad. The mom and dad do such a great job.
Garcia has lots of dirt on the boys who seem to have just been trouble since they were little kids.
Yeah.
Like constantly
They're
getting
so
in trouble
skeezy.
For stuff.
Yeah.
Morgan goes in to talk to Sid. Morgan goads him about not getting the lacrosse scholarship that he was supposed to get because he cheated and had his girlfriend take the SATs for him. And Sid says that he hasn't bothered to lawyer up because he hasn't done anything wrong at all.
He's wearing a very strange wrist brace.
Yeah.
Seems suspicious.
Yes.
But here's the thing. You know, in the interactions they have with these two fellas, which one would you describe as dumber than a box of rocks? Jimmy or Sid?
Both of them. But Sid especially.
More. But they go, like, they make such a big deal about, like, Sid being the brains and Jimmy's so dumb.
Yeah. Like, and we haven't talked to Jimmy yet.
But we've talked to Sid.
But we've talked to Sid.
He doesn't give off mastermind to me.
He doesn't seem like the brains. Because like at that point I was like, how dumb is this Jimmy going to be?
Right. Is he like drooling at the table? Because Sid is not a smart guy.
No. It's not. I mean, they've had plenty of people where like they have the like, you know, profiler versus criminal mastermind
like the
banter
brains
back
and
forth
thing.
And this guy is just like, oh, I can't do anything to me. Yeah, like, I didn't do anything. Where's my roast beef sandwich? Yeah.
Like, no, this guy is not in charge of anyone.
No, this guy's an idiot.
He has not arranged a killing that he got away with.
Yeah.
What?
But yeah, then we get to meet Jimmy. Prentice goes in to talk to him, who the actor was on Recess.
Yes.
Rocket Power.
Uh-huh.
And The Wild Thornberry.
Mm-hmm.
All staples of my childhood.
Yep.
With Tim Curry from The Wild Thornberries.
Prolific and voice actor.
Also, he was recently in Barry. Have you watched that?
No, I
haven't. Made a note on here to tell you to watch Barry because we were talking about how you needed more shows the other day.
Yes, okay.
I'll watch
Barry and you watch Fargo.
Yeah. Oh, I did. I watched the first episode of the fifth season last night. It's so good.
Yeah, okay, good.
I needed more Juno Temple in my life. Mm-hmm.
Everyone does.
Yes. But yeah, I'm like, yeah, this guy seems pretty cool, honestly. He's got a great, really great filmography there. Prentice then refers to Sid as an LRB, a little rich boy.
Because that's the lingo the kids use, Emily.
I Googled LRB, and all I got was the London Book Review and the Little River Band. And it was like, the only person I know that abbreviates dumb stuff like that is my dad. he does stuff like that all the time, and he'll just like say this acronym, and we're all like, what are you talking about? And he'll be like, oh, you know, whatever.
It's like, that didn't save you any time because you had to explain what it meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. She says LRB like it's a thing that people say.
Yeah, like it totally reminded of my dad. Because, yeah. you know, he'd be like, oh, I could go for a PPS right now. And we're like, a what? And he's like, a pulled pork sandwich. And you're like, nobody says that.
I do from now on.
Literally an acronym only you have ever used. But yeah, just her, my yep. dad and Prentice.
Yep.
But Jimmy wants to know what any of this has to do with that girl or this girl yeah. or something. And Hotch points out the sudden shift in Jimmy's behavior because he starts acting a little like mm-hmm. more stressed out.
Yeah.
When Kate was brought up and also like won't say her name
yeah.
or anything.
And as he's explaining it, you can see the local detective guy who is very skeptical of all the time wasting they're doing yeah. At the beginning is starting to be like, oh, okay, I see.
I see what you're doing.
You guys have a plan here. Okay.
Morgan shows Sid Kate's credit card receipts, which show that she and her friends rented a jet ski from the place where Jimmy works mm-hmm. on Friday morning. And Sid asks for a polygraph. Mm-hmm. And we learn simultaneously, yes. Jimmy also asked for a polygraph.
How did they know? Was it like at a certain time? They were like, if we wait until this, if we're still in custody at this time, we're both going to ask for a polygraph?
I don't know. It's so weird.
Yeah, because they never talk about it again. Like, how weird it is that they asked for it at the same time is never acknowledged.
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows?
I don't know if I could say, I mean, you and I, good friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trust one another.
Yeah.
If we were in separate interrogation rooms, but before we were taken in for questioning, we said at hour 67, we're going to ask for polygraphs.
I would lose track of time and forget. Yeah. And I would just immediately be like, give me a polygraph.
I mean, I would immediately ask for a lawyer.
Yeah.
You know? And I trust you. And I still would be like, she's over there making stuff up about me, you know, yeah. to save herself.
Yeah. Because you're being accused of murder?
Yeah.
Especially if we were in a situation where we both knew that one of us had, in fact, murdered someone.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, then we cut back to Kate's dad, who is almost definitely going to murder one of these kids by the end of the episode.
Yes.
JJ again suggests going back to the hotel, and the dad refuses. And then we get kind of a profile. It's not a real profile.
No, I mean, I didn't write it down word for word because it's kind of like one of their working profiles where they just spitball ideas back and forth at each other. But this is a unique one of those episodes where we don't need a profile because we already have suspects in custody.
And really all they're doing is just describing the like dominant submissive behavior patterns.
Which we can tell already that they have backwards.
Yeah.
Which they always do. Every time they have two. They always get the dominant and the submissive mixed up.
Yeah. Hotch tells JJ to go pry more with Kate's parents about her, like, habits and behavior and stuff, mm-hmm. and she reluctantly agrees. Like, and you can kind of see where she's just kind of like, I could have a job where I don't have to do this anymore. Uh-huh. Like, that didn't just involve traumatizing people by trying to get dirt on their missing kid.
Yeah. It's not a good sign that you can tell she's being worn down by this case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rossi goes in to play some mind games with Sid. Sid tells Rossi that Kate was horny, and Morgan bursts in to announce that Sid passed the polygraph test. He's mm-hmm. like, how'd you do it, you little shit?
Yeah.
Probably because polygraphs are bullshit and not real, but sure.
Well, just like all the other science they rely on.
Yeah. And Sid's like, well, why don't you just look at the photos on my phone? And they're like, what? Like
you're giving nobody had looked at... You're giving us permission to search your phone?
Yeah.
And he's like, sure. And don't you think he makes it sound like the photos are really like pornographic in some way?
Yes. Like that was the implication that I got was they were going to be like dirty photos or whatever. And one of them's just like them holding hands on a beach.
Yeah. It's like a selfie of the... And he's like, see, she was enjoying herself. She's smiling with her face pressed next to mine while we're fully clothed in a public place. Like, that doesn't convince me that she had consensual sex with both of you.
Yeah. You're like, okay, you took a selfie at the bar. What happened after you left the bar?
She was still happy then because you had not yet assaulted her.
Yeah. Reed asks Jimmy why he was late to work on Saturday morning, and Jimmy says that he was hungover from Friday night. He says that his alarm clock is broke, and Reed's like, broken. And, like, another thing, like, it was another one of those things where I was like, is he picking up on something?
Yeah.
Like, is he noticing some? No.
No.
Just wanted to correct his grammar.
Yep.
I wrote, we'll see if we comes up that comes up later.
It does not.
It does not. No. Yeah.
Don't spend any time wondering about that.
Prentice announces that Jimmy also passed and asks him how. Mm-hmm. So Sid asks or shows Rossi the photos. JJ asks Kate's parents if they knew that Kate had a fake ID. Mm-hmm. Morgan taunts Sid about Kate, but can't manage to break him. And then Prentice tells him that Barrett isn't smart enough to have pulled this off. And Sid's photos seem to confirm that she was interested in Sid, not Jimmy,
yeah,
like at all.
But again, where are they getting that Jimmy's not smart enough to pull anything off?
Is it just because he's talking less?
I don't
know. Slightly less?
That doesn't seem less intelligent to me.
It seems smarter.
Yeah. In an interrogation.
Yeah. Like the idiot that keeps running his mouth and is like, yeah, look through my phone.
Yeah. Like, and they're like, ah, oh, yes, this is the one pulling the strings.
Yeah. So Strauss calls in to say that JJ's transfer and promotion is an executive decision from higher up than her, and she can't do anything about it. Hotch tells her it's a bad decision, and Strauss says that it's not up to her and to send JJ back to DC right now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, the government can't force you to work for them.
Yeah, it's very strange. I know, that's what I wrote. This JJ transfer stuff doesn't make any sense.
And it's not even like the FBI is like, we want you in another job. It's
right.
The Pentagon.
Yeah.
It's a totally, like, can't make you take a job.
But apparently they do.
It's so stupid.
I know. It doesn't make any sense. It also doesn't make sense to pull her in the middle of a case. Just like, this is the last one, like when she gets back.
Yeah. Like, what does the Pentagon need her for right now?
Right. It doesn't make sense. Yeah.
The team watches Barrett and realizes suddenly that he might not be as stupid as he looks. Mm-hmm. And they're like, this guy doesn't have the looks to seduce Kate, which is absolutely
not
ridiculous.
True.
He's not a bad looking guy.
No.
Like,
personally, I would be more attracted to him than Sid.
Because Sid looks like a douchebag.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, yeah. He's like, if, why would you pick an absolutely
average looking.
Average to good looking person.
Yep.
Like, it's so weird. Like, mm-hmm. You could have found an uglier actor. Why did you choose this actor?
Yeah.
To play. It's like the last one where they like needed the girl for whatever reason to be 8 years old and then picked a girl who was absolutely not 8 years old.
Right. That's what they do all the time.
Oh, it was ridiculous. But JJ looks at the photos and notices Kate's phone is in the back seat of the car. But when she was talking to them earlier, someone calls Kate's phone, mm-hmm. which means that her parents have it.
Right.
Because it was back in her hotel room,
mm-hmm.
which is strange.
Yes.
Which I also thought was weird because the phone rang and they were just like, silence, and put it down.
Right.
I'm like, would you pick it up?
I would pick it up.
I would pick it up.
Maybe it's her or, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody who knows where she is.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah. But they're just like, ugh. This horrible ringtone. Yeah. Anyway, I'm like, can you answer that? I just need to know who it is.
Nope.
So they decided that the boys passed the polygraph because most of their story must be true. They decide that Jimmy must have lured her out of the hotel with her phone, mm-hmm. which doesn't make any sense because the phone was
in
the
room.
Hotel room.
Yep.
So he didn't lure her out. He weaseled his way into her
right.
hotel room to
yeah.
give her the phone. But anyway, then drugged her, took her out on the boat, and dumped her mm-hmm. In the shark-infested water
yeah.
in the inlet.
So he technically didn't kill her, which is how he passed the polygraph, because he just left her for dead.
And he doesn't know where she is, because where is she now?
It's the
I'm
ocean.
Like, that's not how polygraphs work.
No.
Like, you would ask the question, and like, I mean, if something was in my house and they were like, do you know where that is? I'd be like, well, no, I might mm-hmm. not know where it is, but I know it's in my house. Like,
right.
I feel like that would register.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And also, I feel like they would ask more questions than just, where is she now?
Yeah.
Like,
that's what they do. They ask the same question a whole bunch of
different ways. Yeah. But
like,
apparently
does
not.
She know? No, he might not know exactly her GPS coordinates of where her body is right
yeah.
now. But yeah, he knows that he dumped her in the inlet.
Right. Yeah.
Like, he's not. that well practiced at taking polygraphs that he would be able to pass it.
Apparently he is, though. But no, except no, he's too dumb. I don't know.
Yeah. So Morgan goes back to Sid, points out the phone in the picture, and Sid seems surprised. Like he didn't know why, or like that the phone was left there.
Yeah.
Like he didn't know anything about what happened afterwards. Yeah. They also asked Jimmy about the GPS on his boat, which is missing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there anymore. The boys both seem rattled when the team tells them exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. Jimmy, because that is what happened, and Sid probably because
he didn't know,
but probably was like, oh yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
They send the Coast Guard out to the inlet to go look for Kate,
mm-hmm.
who
has an insane will to live, apparently.
Apparently. I was describing the scenario
mm-hmm.
to my boyfriend yesterday, mm-hmm. and he was like, yeah, they find people like that all the time. And I'm like, all the time?
All the time?
You could drug someone, throw them into the ocean, and they could swim.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's happened. And I was like,
on what TV show?
Tell me
watch?
When.
Yeah.
Find me the data.
Yeah. All the time.
He was like, okay, well, maybe not all the time, but it's happened. I was like, I don't know.
Maybe in the realm of possibility that something has happened at some point at some time.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say all the time they find people clinging to buoys like that.
Yeah. And then we just got on this whole tangent about that Blake Lively movie where she was like on the buoy.
Is that what he was thinking of when he said all the
that's
time?
That's what I said. I was like, when you say this has happened, do you mean that movie, which he had not seen? No. And is terrible.
It is terrible, yeah. I have, unfortunately.
It's
have
not
you
good.
Also seen the one with Mandy Moore where they are like scuba diving in a shark cage and it accidentally drops to the bottom of the ocean and they're stuck in the cage
no.
with all the sharks? I forget what it's
we
called.
We were talking about the other one, Open Water, though. Did you see that one?
Is that the one where they're scuba diving and they get left behind?
They get left behind.
That's based on a true story.
And I know. I mean, I couldn't even finish watching that movie because I do not love large expanses of open water when
either.
I can't see the shore.
No,
like, not my thing. I would
do
never
not
go to
like
that.
The ocean, period. I think the ocean is for fish and we are not intended to be there. I will swim in a pool. I will sit on the beach and look at the water. I do not want to be in the ocean. So no, I would never do that.
Yeah. That movie was terrifying. Mm-hmm. I watched like 3/4 of it and I knew it was based on a true story and I knew what happened to those people and I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm done.
Yeah, I know. It's absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
But Kate makes her way to the buoy.
She sure does.
As
and then just curls up on it and just lays there in a storm for 3 days. I don't have that kind of will to live.
I don't either. I'd be like, just take me now. Let me die.
Yeah.
Let a shark eat me.
But yeah, JJ gets to tell Kate's parents that their daughter is alive. Mm-hmm. So it's like a good resolution to this last case. Yeah.
But I hate that she tells the parents, like, I like to think your son was watching out for her. Like, that seems like a big overstep professionally.
Yes.
Like, you shouldn't say something like that to a family.
It's like, you might like to think that, but you don't know.
You don't get to say that to these strangers.
That's going to be comforting to them in any way, shape, or form.
No, I did not like that at all.
No, I thought that was a really obnoxious thing to say. But yeah, the dad says that JJ saved his life by finding her. Like, JJ didn't. It was the Coast Guard and all of the other profilers. JJ's literally just been sitting in a room with you. I guess she noticed the phone, but whatever.
Yeah.
Like, thank the rest of these people, too. But this episode isn't about them. JJ tells him that he raised an incredibly strong daughter. And then the dad goes in to be nice to his wife, even though he's been just a real asshole to her this entire episode so far.
Yep.
But yeah, like it's like outside the hospital room, and they like look in, and the mom's just like laying in her bed with her, just like holding on to her, and I was like, that's exactly what I'd be too. Be like, I'm sorry, I'm never letting go of you again.
Yep.
You're just gonna have to stay here and hug me until I die.
You're gonna have to sleep in my bed every night.
Exactly.
Yep.
So Hotch has to tell JJ that she leaves in a week for her new job at the Pentagon, even though Strauss said she had to come back right this instant.
Yeah.
I guess they negotiated a week in there for.
Yep.
JJ also has to fill out an exit interview. Hotch apologizes for not being able to keep her, but tells her that she's going to be better off than any of them, which is probably very true.
And he admits that he'll miss her, which is a crazy outburst of emotion from Hotch.
Yeah. Is he going to miss her or the work that she does for the team?
That's I'm going to miss how good you are at your job.
Yeah. So we... Her, like, the ending quote is her exit interview.
Yeah.
Which is, I wrote it all down.
Oh, good.
I'm thankful for my years spent with this family, for everything we shared, every chance we had to grow. I'll take the best of them with me and lead by their example wherever I go. A friend told me to be honest with you, so here it goes. This isn't what I want, but I'll take the high road. Maybe it's because I look at everything as a lesson, or because I don't want to walk around angry, or maybe it's because I finally understand. There are things we don't want to happen but have to accept, things we don't want to know but have to learn, and people we can't live without but have to let go. And do you think that is what AJ Cook wrote about being fired from this job?
Maybe.
Because I do.
Can you imagine being that emotional about a job?
A job that you're just, I mean, she doesn't have to move.
Right.
She's still working in D.C.
Right.
At a job that's going to be less hours
right.
for her. So, like, she'll still.
I
obviously we are coworkers and very good friends. But if one of us worked elsewhere, it wouldn't be like, we're never going to see each other.
I mean, the montage they do under this quote of, like, highlights of JJ is like she died.
Yeah.
Right? It's like...
And also it is set to Let It Be Me by Ray LaMontagne, mm-hmm. which is a song that I hate so much. And also, isn't that Will's last name?
Well, yeah.
Are they related?
I would like to think in the Criminal Minds universe they are.
I didn't even think of that. Because at first when it started playing, at first I thought it was Jason Mraz.
That would be worse.
What is that one? The, like, I Won't Give Up on Us which I also hate.
Which so many people had as their wedding song the year that came out. I went to so many weddings where that was a first dance song.
That's a weird choice.
It sure is. Sure is. Yep.
But yeah, it was the Let It Be Me song, and mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but that song is like nails on a chalkboard to me. And it was like, I should just mute this. But yeah, like her whole ending quote, I was like, this is far too eloquent for anyone on this Criminal Minds writing staff to have written that. And I like to think that was like AJ Cook's goodbye message to her fellow castmates when she was canned from the show.
Yep. Yep. Excuse me. And there it ends.
But yeah. We don't have a profile to score.
No.
Because they didn't really give us one.
We have some statistics.
Yes.
2 for 2, 100% white men in season 6, 109 to 23 overall, 82.6%. I believe that rounds up to 83% white men.
Mm-hmm.
Hotch is at a 10 currently for our Hotch Watch.
Yeah.
I would give him more points for admitting he would miss JJ, but he's already at a 10.
Yeah.
And like you said, it could be secretly that he missed the good job she does. So hard to say.
But still, he's definitely not losing any points.
No, no. And he fought for her, for the job. I mean, that's all professional, though, really, when you think about it. Like, that's not him being, like, a good human, just a good boss.
Well, and also, like, yeah, I don't know how much he, like, fought for her, but, like, just, like, validating her when she was like, I don't want the job. And he's like, yes, Josh, she doesn't want the job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like, honestly, like, if it's a transfer like that, he can't fight for her.
Right.
It's going to come from above and they're going to make the decision. And
yeah.
It doesn't matter what he has to say because it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
But I wish we knew people that worked at the FBI and or the Pentagon so we could confirm that kind of a job transfer
happens.
Could possibly
take the transfer or quit, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because he says he's not going to replace her. Like, how are you not going to replace her?
Yeah, they're like, we'll figure something out. And I was like, don't you need somebody with,
like, media
bedside
training?
Manner?
Like, communications experience?
You would think. Remember what happened last time she left? Oh, that's probably why they're not going to replace her. Because last time it was Jordan Todd and she was horrible. Yeah. He's like, you know what? It's better if we just do the job by ourselves.
That's true. That's a very good point. Well, next up is Remembrance of Things Past.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Remembrance?
Mm-mm.
It's another Rossi cold case. I feel like I'm going to remember once we get into it.
Can I just read you the tags on the IMDb plot keywords? Just a couple of them.
For the Remembrance of Things Past?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Reference to Jack LaLanne. Women wears lingerie. Reference to Georgetown University. Man uses wheelchair. Mark Twain quotation. And Gulfstream 450 business jet.
Wow, there's so much to look forward to.
Oh, wait, last one. Tied up while barefoot. I did not notice in any of the previous season these plot keywords. Wow. And
well, now I'm looking forward to
them. Now I'm looking forward to them because I just read them and this doesn't remind me of anything at all.
Curious. I can't wait to check in and see how those measure up with the actual episode.
Mm-hmm. Yep, pretty excited about this.
Well, wherever you're listening, be sure to leave a 5-star review. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at The Unsub is a White Man. Our merch is on Redbubble. If you get any, make sure you tag us. We'll share you to our stories. Our theme music is composed and performed by Nate Youngblood, and the podcast is produced by Nate Youngblood. Thanks, Nate.
And until next week, we'll be avoiding the ocean.